To be standing before you in Mount Calvary Community Church, singing the praises unto his name, hearing that choir, Vicki, you have inspired us by your dedication and putting up with us and making us learn things that we thought we could not learn. We went on a trip. We left out. In the first 48 hours of our trip on the seas, we had experienced some fairly high winds. If Bob Mumford had been with us, his hairstyle would have been disrupted. That's to tell you the way the winds were. Within 48 hours of the time that we'd left out to the harbor, we'd seen another boat which was moored up within 100 yards of us actually burned down to the waterline. And we were so concerned about the individuals. And thanks be unto God, as far as our knowledge, nobody was on that boat. But after that fire started, within 5 or 6 minutes, that boat was fully engulfed in flames. At nighttime, we had to untie from the mooring ball and go over with flashlights shining down to tie up to another barrel at the bitter end there, right next to Saba Rock. We'd had one of the lines on the head sail, which came loose, off it went. And when that head sail and the full 30-mile-an-hour wind is going everywhere, and the captain is such a good captain, he turned to the first mate and said, "Go get it." Amen? Amen. I did my best. I swabbed the deck without a mop that day. But in every turn and everything that had happened, and you know you plan for a vacation, you know how difficult it is sometimes when you're getting ready for a vacation because you got so much to do, so many little ends to take care of. So you plan and you work and you go, and the first thing you think, oh, this is going to be so relaxing. But the thing that made such an impression upon me, from the time that we arrived to the time that we met our dear shipmates from up in Washington State, we call them the Westies. We were the Easties, those were the Westies. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord sustained us. No matter what the situation were, no matter what the difficulty were, there was joy. In the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, very quickly, a short verse that all of you've read, all of you know. The 22nd verse, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The thing that you live for, that thing that you just pluck off in your life, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts to receive that special truth you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is amazing to me when I read this that there are 9 things listed: love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self control. And we had 9 individuals on the boat. Time after time, the things that happened, we returned again to the joy of the Lord. Joy is a simple statement. It's a question that you can ask yourself. And the question that you ask yourself when you're talking about joy, do I exhibit an unshakable joy regardless of circumstances? You can be happy, you can be sad, you can have things that come against you, and we have things that move you. And when we got the news about Gay, about the grandson, about that little young man, and I've met him and what a joy he is, and I know his father and what a joy he is. And to think about him being struck by a vehicle, oh, you felt the compassion inside. But there was still on that boat and in that crew, there was an unshakable, positive joy. We didn't always get along. I thought I'd heard Captain say amen back there, but he didn't. We didn't always agree, but the thing that mattered the most to us, and the thing that just impressed me, is we were all on the same path. The captain's job is to navigate. That's simply get you pointed in the right direction. On the boat, they have a little screen. It has a little boat there, and it has a line goes through about where you're headed to. And he was constantly up there trying to make changes. And when the sails were out, we'd be trimming those sails to try to keep us on the right path, directed in the right area. Away from those rocks, away from those things that would bring harm to the individuals. But no, captain's job is to navigate, to keep us on that straight path. And he did a wonderful job of that. I knew when I started off on the trip that it was going to be interesting. Even before we got on the boat, we got to the cab. The lady's name who so kindly came and picked us up that Scott had already arranged, her name was Marilyn. And for just a few moments, I thought I was sitting with Terry Lee and Jennifer, because she and I were having a discussion about her favorite pastor. She says, I remember you. She says, you're the pastor from up north. I said, yes, yes. Boy, it makes you feel good when somebody 2 years ago, they remember you. And I said, and who is your favorite pastor? Who is the one that you enjoy to hear the most of all? And what did she say, Jennifer?
Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen. Made my heart feel good. I thought I was back with my home people. And we talked a little bit about the churches on that island. And we talked a bit about how we were greeted. And most of all is how when people we would leave out of their presence, they would turn and say, God bless you. It thrilled my heart. Through the challenges that we faced, it all seemed to work out because we had the joy of the Lord always in our midst. We laughed. And we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. It was so moving to me that at the end we had a little celebration at a place called Amalfi, a wonderful meal overlooking the bay, and what a wonderful, glorious view it has. It says it's got a world-class view. And at that meal, when we all joined hands to pray for the wonderful meal that was going to be presented to us, but also thanking God for His kindness, His care, His gentleness, and most of all, His safety upon the waters. The sincerity that I felt from each individual. I had people, when I would pray over the meals, people that I'd only met a couple days before that would just reach over and grab my shoulder, not only my hand, and hold on to me when I pray. That restores your faith. That allows you to know that you're in the center of His will. That allows you to know, no matter what's going to come against you, what challenges, what things that you've been through in the last few months of your life, that God is there and He cares for you. I was moved. Kathy's husband, Steve, was an absolute joy. He wore a shirt. He says, "I'm not the captain. I'm just the admiral." And when he put that shirt on the second day of the cruise, I knew we were in for it. And each morning he would get up. I have a little problem with seasickness. And we had waves. And you start to feel, and those little patches sometimes, they don't do exactly what they're supposed to do. I decided I need a larger patch, not a small one behind here, a little bit larger patch to cover here. So I stayed above, slept up top. First thing in the morning, here comes the admiral bringing me a cup of coffee. "Good morning, Charlie. How you doing today?" I don't know, it was the color that... This is not a spray-on tan, like Cousin Rick thought it was a spray-on tan this morning. It's not. As it got more sun, and sometimes you turn a few different shades when those waves are a little bit. He came out with a smile upon his face and handed you a cup of coffee first thing in the morning. "Praise be unto God, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I have made of a choice to be glad and rejoice in it. And I thank Him. I thank each and every one, and I thank you, because what a wonderful opportunity to get away. What a wonderful opportunity to just share in the goodness that God has for each and every one of us, knowing that the folks here just took care of it. I heard Wednesday night that Terry did such a beautiful job, super job. Didn't think he had it in him, did you? Neither did I. Neither did he. He's been listening to Joel Osteen a lot. Gonna have to talk to them. And I was moved because I'd read a story before I left. It was a story that moved me. The story I want to share with you just before we serve communion. And I'm thrilled that Gene and Scott are going to step forward and help us on serving communion today. Bless you. I read that up in Chicago there was a mother of a 15-year-old boy named Doug. The mom had become increasingly worried because his temperature was up over 105. Taking him into the hospital, the blood tests revealed that he had leukemia. He developed pneumonia. And for 10 days, his mother stayed with him in that hospital room. On the first day when he was admitted, first time in a hospital, he was only 15, he mentioned to his mother, he said, "I thought you get flowers when you're in the hospital." He had an aunt that overheard that and called the place in order for flowers. And when she called, the voice of the clerk was rather high-pitched, sound rather young. So the aunt said, I want a planter especially attractive because it's for my 15-year-old nephew who has leukemia. And the voice on the other end said, let's add some fresh-cut flowers to make it even more beautiful. And when that arrangement arrived at the hospital, Douglas, he opened the card. And he read it from his aunt, but then he realized there was another card in behind it. And his mom said, well, they probably just made a mistake and left that card in. It was probably supposed to go to someone else, but he said, I'm going to take it out and read it anyway. And when he read this second card, this is what it said. It said, Douglas, I took your order. I work at the flower shop. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I am 22 years old now. Good luck. My heart goes out to you. Sincera, Laura Bradley. As soon as he read that, his face just lit up. His mother said that his countenance changed, and he found hope and strength in that small card. Now, this story was reported in the Chicago Tribune by Mr. Bob Green. And he actually went out and spoke to the sales clerk who had written the card. And when he interviewed her, this is what she said. She said, when Douglas's aunt told me that the boy had leukemia, she said, I felt tears coming into my eyes. It reminded me of when I first learned that I had it. I realized what this young man must be going through, and I wanted him to know that you really can get better. So I wrote the card and I slipped it in the envelope. She said, I didn't tell anyone because I haven't worked here very long and I was afraid I'd get in trouble. And the writer, the reporter from the Chicago Tribune, wrote, it's kind of funny. This young man was in a hospital filled with millions upon millions of dollars of the most sophisticated medical equipment in the world. He was treated by expert doctors and nurses with medical experience totaling hundreds of years. But it was a sales clerk in a flower shop, a woman making $170 a week, who, by taking the time to care and being willing to go with what her heart filled her with compassion told her to do, gave Douglas hope and the will to carry on. I believe that sometimes God just steps in. I think that sometimes he just gets a hold of your heart. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that the people that are hearing the sound of my voice know exactly what I am talking about. The joy of the Lord sustains me because it comes not only from God himself, but it comes from all the individuals that God allows to be placed around me. Whether it's a Sunday school class that inspires you, whether it's a choir that as you work together during your part to make the whole sound better, whether it's simply coming in on a Sunday morning and just being greeted with a handshake, a smile. Brother Craig back there, he looked so good this morning, I had to go back and tell him. Liddy, you must have dressed him this morning. I don't know if he can do that on his own, but you say he can. I don't know. But I don't know why I was standing up here. I looked back, and old Craig, he was just back there, and he just looked like the presence of God was upon him. And I went back, and I told him. Friends, that's what it's all about. We have been blessed, have we not? We have a small church here that has as much heart as any church that I've ever seen in my life, and I thank God for that. I just ask that each and every one of us thank Him for what He has done for us during this time of communion. Heavenly Father, we've gathered together in your house. We've sung praises unto your name. The choir has lifted up their voices. to sing about how you still those raging waters and calm the seas. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for what your Son did so long ago. And we ask at this time that you'll simply bless this wafer, which represents the body which was broken. We ask that you'll simply bless this small cup of juice, representing the blood that was shed for our sins. We do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said amen.